In James chapter 4, look in verse 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Boy, ain't that true. Amen. Who would ever thought we was dealing with what we're dealing with right now? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you and that for another good day that you've given us. We thank you for the choir singing. Lord, we understand that that this time in life that folks seem to be a little worried, to be concerned. And Lord, I pray that you'll take that fear away. And Lord, give us joy in our heart. We understand it's something that really needs to be paid attention to. But Lord, we know that you can help us and give us wisdom through all this, just to pray and seek. Because you told us in the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. And Lord, we understand it. You'll give it to us. And we just pray today. Now, as we get ready to preach, I pray that you would help us preach and that without fear or favor and that to man. But Lord, that you'd give us an unction from the Holy One. And we certainly need a touch. We pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts today and recall to our memory the things that we have studied. And we certainly need your help. Save the one here that might be lost. There may be somebody here that's lost today that does not know you. And I pray they might get saved. And we ask you to come by and meet with us. Strengthen the one that needs strength. And Lord, we pray you'd help. Save that sinner's nearest tail for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in the passage of scriptures James is writing right here, we find that as he comes to the end of this chapter in chapter 4, as folk are making plans. And most people make plans. I don't think there's anything wrong with making plans. It's just the problem was is they were leaving the Lord out of their plans. Because if you look right here, they were saying, we'll go today or go tomorrow, and we'll go into a city and we'll sell. But they were leaving God out of that. Because how do you know that? Because in verse 15, he says, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live, we shall live and do this, or do that." Listen, they didn't know about tomorrow. Let me say, none of us know about tomorrow. We don't understand what's going to take place tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be living tomorrow. We don't know if we'll die tomorrow. Listen, we don't know if tomorrow is going to be a good day or a bad day. But nonetheless, as we make plans, we need to make plans with God in our mind. If God's okay with us going here, going there, then that's what we'll do. As a matter of fact, he talked about the shortness of life in verse 14. He says, what is your life? He said, it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And some of you all sitting in here today, I know that to be the truth. I mean, you just seems like you had your kids yesterday and now they're married and they're going to have kids of their own and having kids. And I mean, time has flew by and it's just like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. But he talks about right here, he comes on and says, if the Lord will, we'll do this or do that. And in verse 16, he said, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. What were they boasting in? I think we go over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 27 and we find out what their boasting was. When he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I believe they were boasting about their plans. I believe they were talking about everything that they were going to do, what they wanted to do, but yet God was nowhere in their plans. Can I ask you this morning, church, is God in your plans? Everything that you do, do you consider God? Do you talk to the Lord? Do you say, Lord, would you have me to do this? I know that I've told you this story for a long time. A buddy of mine, we had talked about buying a sawmill, wanted a sawmill, and that just seemed like, for lack of better words for some of y'all, that seemed like a fun thing to do. Now, I've worked in a sawmill a time or two. I know that it ain't a fun thing to do. Amen. But I never was the man standing behind it running it. I was always the man hauling off the slabs. Amen. I was always doing the harder. And let me tell you this right here. We've got some young men in here. Hey, listen, the boy that was running that sawmill, he had a 14-year-old girl that would just about work me in the shade. I mean, that's how good she was. So listen there now. But look. He said what right here? He said, you doing things without considering the Lord. So when I thought one day, I thought, you know what? Maybe I need to pray about this. Maybe I ought to pray and talk to the Lord about what He thinks about this. And you know, I had no more got down to pray. And I kid you not, it was like heaven. I just said, nope, I don't want you to buy one. And you know what? In that form and fashion, I got up and said, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll not buy one. And I really wanted one, but I want you to look at what he said. He said, don't rejoice in your boastings like this because it is evil to do it. You've got plans, but you've never considered God in any of your plans. But then in verse 17, and here's why I want to preach at, he says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I simply want to preach on the thought of the sin of omission. We have the sin of commission. And that is the sin of when we do something wrong. We would call that the sin of commission. In other words, we committed it. We done it and should not have done it. Kind of like with David and Bathsheba. And that was a sin of commission. That was something that they done that they should not have done. But he said right here, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Then there becomes the sin of omission. When we should have done something and we didn't do it. Now how many of us has ever been guilty of that? I would say that I have probably been more guilty of the sin of omission than the sin of commission. And so this morning I will preach on the sin of omission or knowing to do good. Number one, first of all, let me say quickly by way of introduction before I get started that sin is simply the voluntary transgression of divine law. In other words, we have went against what God says to do. It is violation of a divine command. 1 John chapter 3 put it like this. He said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. In other words, it is against what the Lord had to do or said to do. In Genesis chapter 31, as Jacob and Laban was talking, and Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin? And so we find that he defines it as a trespass. In other words, we have trespassed against the commandment of God. Hey, can I tell you that every one of us was born sinners? Amen. Hey, I mean, the Bible said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as one man sinned in the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know why we're dying? Because we're sinners. But you know what? The day or the night that we got saved, we were forgiven of our sin. We're forgiven of all of it. Ain't that a wonderful thought? To know that God is not going to impute our sin unto us, but He has imputed and that the right of the Lord Jesus Christ. That thrills my heart today, church. I don't have to answer for my sin. I'll never stand before a just and a holy God and have to give an answer for my sin. But what I will have to stand before Him is to give an answer for everything that I've done in this body, whether good or bad. But we find right here that even though we have been forgiven, it is still possible and that for us to sin in our flesh. Now, our soul has been cut loose from our flesh, has it not? I mean, listen, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But the Apostle Paul talks about, I believe it is in the book of Colossians, that operation made without hands, that circumcision, and that of the heart. He has cut us loose from our flesh. You're no longer looking at Mark Latham, but Mark Latham is down on the inside looking out at you. Amen. This is just the tabernacle that I live in. And so it depends on who I want to let have control, whether Mark the old man or whether Mark the new man. But I want to look at three things this morning. I believe this verse is busted up into three pieces, and we'll look at it. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good. Can I say that first of all, number one, there is a knowing to do good. Let me say that if you're lost this morning and you're sitting here, you know it's the right thing to get saved. You know that. You understand that. You've heard everybody sitting in here today has heard enough preaching and enough Bible teaching in Sunday school and that to know that if you're lost, you need to get saved. And if you feel the Lord knock upon your heart and draw upon you, according to Revelation chapter 3, when He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So you know that you need to get saved. But listen, as Christians, we are to be good and to do good. Would you agree with that? Would you agree? And the word good is a broad term. I mean, listen, when I looked up the definition and back to the word good, it just went on and on and on and on about what good meant. I mean, there was like 30 definitions to good. You're looking at a fellow that when he was in school, you remember when you took school, I don't know if they still do this today, but we had spelling class, and in spelling class we had spelling words, and then we had to go look up the words and what they meant and find the definition. I used to hate that. I literally hated it. I hated spelling. I hated looking up what words meant. But then when I started preaching, you know, God does have a sense of humor. Now I love to know what words mean. And I mean, I'll get the dictionary out and I'll find out what words mean, because it'll help you understand what God is trying to tell you. You know, the word good, first of all, means having strength adequate to its own support. Kind of like talking about that board's good to build that house with. It can support that house. It's a good board. You know, you can use it. It means valid or sound, like a good argument. They've got a good argument and they might win it. It means complete or sufficient, like good ground. It means conformable to moral law, as in a good person. It means proper or fit or suitable. It means kind and benevolent. It means a promotion of happiness or cheer. And so good would simply be the opposite and that of bad. So he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Hey, can I tell you today that the only way for us to do good and to be good is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to strive to be good and do good. Is that not right? Now listen, I'm just dealing right now with the generality and that of good. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Man, that's a wonderful thought, ain't it? Listen, if you need grace, you can have grace. You can get grace today. You can possess grace in your life that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Paul said you need grace, and God will give you sufficiency in it that you may abound to every good work. Can I say that God don't want us doing bad works? He wants us doing good works, don't he? Listen, good works ain't going to save you, but boy, I tell you, once you get saved, you should have some. Amen. I mean, did not Christ and that go about doing good? Did he not go about healing those that were sick? Did he not help those that were oppressed? Did he not find himself touching those that needed a touch and being a friend to those that needed a friend? You know that it's just good to be a friend to people that need a friend. Amen. Now I'm talking about to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You know, when you know that you can be a friend and you don't be a friend, you've not done good. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We ought to teach good things. We ought to live good, and then we ought to teach good. Galatians 6 and 10, he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter 6. Now I'm just simply talking about being a good person and doing good things. That's all I'm talking about right now. Luke chapter 6. I want you to look at this. He talks about our enemy. Do we have enemies? I'll guarantee you got an enemy somewhere. If you don't have one, chances are you're going to have one sooner or later. Luke chapter 6, there's always going to be somebody that if you get out in this world and you let your light shine and that for the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to make an enemy or two. Luke chapter 6, you know, the Bible did say, woe unto the man that everyone speaks well of. Luke chapter 6 and look in verse 33. Let me back up. Go to verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's kind of the golden rule, ain't it? You know, doing to them as you'd have them do unto you. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. You know what he said right here in verse 35? He said, but love ye your enemies and do good. Just do good to them. Listen, if your enemy is against you, do good to them. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Is it Matthew 5 I believe I need to be in? Matthew 5, he talks about our enemies again. And I think he lays it out even more in Matthew chapter 5. Look in verse 41. Now, I'm simply right now just talking about doing good. Just being a good person and doing good works and loving on people. Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, I've preached on a two-mile Christian before. You know, they tell me back in the day that Roman soldiers could come through Israel. And they could come to a Jew, and that Roman soldier could come in your house and say, carry my stuff for a mile. And they said that these Jews had set up, and I'm just telling you what history says, that they had drove a stake up a mile from their house in every direction of the road that they might have to travel. And when that Roman soldier would come in there, and he would tell you to carry his stuff, and you would carry it a mile, and then they'd just throw it down and say, there it is, and turn around and walk back home. But Jesus said, if somebody compels you to go a mile, he said, go with them twain. Well, you want to talk about going the extra mile. That's where that comes from, by the way. Being an extra mile Christian. What did he say right here? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless him that curse you, do good to them that hate you, there that is, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And so we find that we have opportunity to do good. We should. I'm going to be honest with you. As independent Baptists, we've got afraid of doing good. I mean, we only want to do good to people that we think deserve to do good. Let me ask you something. When the priest and the Levite went by that fellow that was on the road to Jericho, fell among thieves, and they stripped him and left him half dead and left him in the ditch over there, did they do good? Well, y'all know the story. He said the priest come by, looked on him, and he not only just walked by, he walked by on the other side. And the Levite done the exact same thing. You know what I'm afraid that I find ourselves? Let me ask you something. Let me stop right here. If somebody wrecked down here in our churchyard and was hurt and needed help, would we not go help them? Or would we stand outside the car and say, what got you in this shape? I could smell booze on you. You've been drinking. It's your fault that you wrecked and that you're in this bloody mess and that you're going to die in the shape that you're in. Would we leave them? Would we leave them down there? Now, I'm being serious. Would we leave them down there? Well, no, we wouldn't. As a matter of fact, we would fight like wildfire to get the door open, to make sure the phone's been called, if somebody's down 911, get an ambulance out here, and if something needed to happen, we'd make it happen, wouldn't we? But yet, when our enemy, when somebody that we, now, here's where we're going to get to the message, stay with me now. He said to him that knoweth to do good, but yet it seems like when somebody gets in trouble, we always, and I talked about this when I was talking about what is our responsibility to the poor a couple weeks ago. We always want to find out what got them in the shape that they're in. And we want to use that to justify whether we're not going to help them. Now, like I told you, if you're not going to help somebody, then it better be that God spoke to you and said, hey, don't help them. But other than that, we need to be good to them and do all that we can. I'm just going to tell you some of the things that was ingrained in me over the years was, do your diligence to find out how they got in the shape that they're in. Sometimes it don't matter how they got there. They're there. And all they need is somebody to be good to them. And if you'd be good to them, it's liable to get them out of where they're at. And it's liable to help them. Exodus chapter 23, this is in the law, and here's what the Lord said. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. He said, if the enemy's donkey or his oxen's going away, and he said, you grab it and you lead it back to him. Just don't let it go away. He said, you take care of it. Proverbs 25 said, if thine enemy be hungry, give to him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Can I tell you that if we don't do these things, then it's sin? Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Good covers a great big area, don't it? Can I ask you this morning, don't you think the Lord wants us to be good? Well, if the opposite is bad, I can tell you the Lord don't want us to be bad. So he wants you to be good. Now, you saying that I should be good to everybody? Hey, I'm going to tell you, when you have opportunity to be good, you need to be good. But we go back to the text scripture. And what is he talking about? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. If we look at the text in the context, I believe he's dealing with verse 15. For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. I think the good is actually in response to the will of God. I think we have the opportunity and the responsibility, knowing what the will of God is, we should do it. If we know it, we need to do it. Can I tell you this morning, if you go back and you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers chapter 15 and Leviticus chapter 4, you find what is called the sin of ignorance. Have you always known that everything that you've done is sin? What are you talking about? I had to learn about some things. But this was wrong to do. You shouldn't do this. Now, when I got saved, there were some things that just changed in me immediately. My vocabulary changed. The way I done some things changed. The way I thought changed. But I had to learn about some things. And he said, therefore, to him that what? Knoweth to do good. You know, sometimes as you're a babe in Christ, Now listen, if you go to Leviticus 4 and Numbers 15, it wasn't that it wasn't sin, it was that it was a sin of ignorance. There was still a sacrifice that had to be made for that thing. God just forgave it because it was a sin of ignorance. Can I ask you something though? When David went and took Bathsheba for adultery, was that a sin of ignorance? No, he knew better. Let me ask you this. How do you know he knew better? Well, because they were telling him, hey, is this not Uriah's wife? I mean, they were telling him. Let me ask you another question. When David in that numbered Israel, he got 70,000 people killed when he numbered Israel. Was that a sin of ignorance? No, it was not a sin of ignorance. How do you know? One, God had told him, don't number Israel. And another, and at that very same time, Joab is standing over here just like the Holy Spirit, and he's telling him, David, don't number Israel. Don't do this. You're going to get in trouble if you do this. But nonetheless, David wanted to. Joab went on and numbered Israel and brought them back. And then God sent the plague. David knew what was good to do. What was good to do? Not number Israel. But he still done it anyway, didn't he? So it got him in trouble. When we know what the will of God is, once we grow, are you saying that some things or sin for you is not sin for me? No, sin's sin, but it's in knowing what sin is. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we teach these young'uns in Sunday school to try to keep themselves pure and holy and keep them out of the world. Why? We got to teach them so that they might learn, right? So that they might know what sin is. Let me give you an example this morning of doing good. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 7. I preached out of this Wednesday night. Actually, for y'all that wasn't here, I preached out of 2 Kings 4, 5, 6, and 7. Some of you all are going, boy, I'm glad I wasn't here for that. Hey, I got it done about 35 minutes, man. Preached on four chapters in 35 minutes. We was out the door and gone. You wouldn't think your preacher could do that. Bethany's looking at me like he might be lying. It was 35 minutes, I promise you. I hope it was. Anyway, 2 Kings chapter 7. I want you to look right here. What's going on? Samaria is besieged, and that was Syria. They're starving to death inside the city. There's lepers sitting outside the city. They looked at each other. They said, we're starving to death. And said, if we sit here, we're going to starve to death. If we go in the city, we're going to starve to death because there's nothing going on in there. Nothing to eat in there. Said, so the only option we got is to go to the camp of the Syrians. And said, if we fall unto them, if they'll take care of us and feed us, that's good. We'll live. And if they don't, they're going to kill us and we're going to die anyway. What's a bad place to be, ain't it? Knowing that you're facing sure death. But we find that as they get close and that to the Syrian camp, they begin to realize that there's no Syrians there. They had left. God made a sound of horsemen and footmen to come in there. And they thought that Israel had hired some kings to come in there and battle against them. And they all left. They run out. I mean, they run so fast that stuff was falling out of their pockets as they was running. And so we pick up in verse 8. And the Bible says, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, we do not well. You know what they're saying right there? We're not doing good. We do not well. Why? This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us and therefore come and we may go and tell the king's household. They said, look, we've got the good news that Samaria needs to hear. We know what's going on down here. And said, we're hoarding everything up, putting it in our pockets and carrying it off and burying it and hiding it. And said, if we hold this till morning light, said, we're going to be in trouble. And they looked at each other and they said, we do not well. We're not doing good. Can I tell you, one of the things that the will of God is for us to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we do not well. They had the good news of what could help Samaria. They had the good news and they're hoarding it up. Listen, they had to come to a place to where they realized they had to know. And they said, look, we've got opportunity and that to do good, to show kindness, to go witness. Listen, when you witness to somebody, you're showing them the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it is talking to them or whether it is simply like Matthew 5 talks about, how to let our light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Whether we just let our light shine or whether we talk of Him, we're doing good. It's the point to Him, ain't it? Everything we do is the point to Him. I want people to look at me and in my actions and in my words and in my thoughts and everything, I want to be different that folk can see Christ in me. Could see Christ in me. I want a saved person to be able to see Christ in me. Might help them. I've been around some preachers before, and I've got to be careful what I talk about right here. But man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been around some of them, and I'm thinking, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it's sin. I mean, I got my own problems. Don't misunderstand me, but some of them, I mean, my whole mind, I mean, I couldn't wrap up what was going on. He says, do good. These lepers had the opportunity to do good. And by the way, they did do good. They sent back to the king's house. Wasn't that good of them? I mean, everybody was standing around starving. If you had the ability to feed folk that were starving, wouldn't you feed them? Now, you want me to throw you something out here right now? What if we were quarantined? I mean, shut us down, lock us up tight. Well, what if somebody came to you and wanted something to eat? You going to give them something to eat? You know, that's always a question that arose during the Y2K. See, I was around during Y2K. You know, and the question arose, you know, we're going to protect what we've got, and we should. We got to protect our family. We got to protect ourselves. But if somebody comes to you in earnest and starving to death, you say, well, I got to take care of me and mine. I understand that too. You're going to turn them away. Where's the good? You know that in a time of distress and in a time of hard times, that being good don't change? I know the Lord wants us to protect things. I know He wants us to take care of ourselves. I understand that. I'm just saying that, what are we going to do? We're going to shoot sinners that's coming at us? I mean, if they're trying to kill me, I'm going to dig a hole I can't get out of here, Brother Jeremiah. If I ain't careful. What I'm saying, if people's come to you in dire need, and they have a need, and we have the ability to take care of it, what was it that James said at one point? He said, if we have the world's goods, and see our brother in need, and we just tell them to go away and be filled. I think sometimes if we ain't careful, we don't do good. I think sometimes we're afraid we're going to get accused of compromising. for doing good. If I'm doing good and I know the Lord's happy with it, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care. I remember I had a preacher call me one time, and he wanted me to come and help preach revival at his church, and it was a non-denominational church. And that bothered me for a little while because it's non-denominational. And I asked myself this question one day. I said, why does it bother you? And I was worried about what everybody else was going to say. And I let it quit bothering me because I really don't care what anybody says. I'm going to preach. It ain't no different preaching at the nurse. You know how many different faiths I preached to at the nursing home? There's a multitude of faiths over there. But I just go over there and preach the book. Just go over there and tell them the truth, what the book says. Stand down on the street corner. I mean, there's a multitude of faiths and no faith. There's going to be no faith some days. And I mean, and you just stand out there and you preach. It's good to do that. Don't let somebody tell you not to do good when you have the opportunity to do good. He said, to him that knoweth to do good, when you know to follow God's will, when you know what God's will is for your life and you don't do it, then you've done what he said right here. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and then what? Doeth it not. So we know we have the knowing of doing good, but then we have the neglect of doing good. Was that not what the Lord got onto the Pharisees about in Matthew chapter 23? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. He said, yeah, tithe, you should tithe, but he said in the process, you've left some of this other stuff undone. You knew what to do, but you didn't do it. He said, you've not done the heavier, the weightier matters of the law, the judgment, the mercy, and having faith. You've not judged what should have been judged in your life. You've not had mercy on who needed mercy. You've not kept faith like you should have had faith. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Are we doing okay this morning? All right. When that goes out on the radio, folk did say amen. It may have gotten picked up. I don't know. I was listening to the broadcast the other day, and y'all did say amen when I asked that question, but boy, it didn't come through on the microphone. I thought, man, people on the radio are going to think, my church thought I was doing horrible. Amen. Look in verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servant and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. Now, what are we talking about? Talking about doing the Lord's will, are we not? Him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not? It's him and his sin. So he says right here, that servant which what? Knew his Lord's will. Him that knoweth to do good and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You know, the more we know, the more we're responsible for. Is that not right? Is that not true? The more you understand and you know out of God's word, then the more you're responsible for. And so he says right here, to him that knoweth to do good and then don't do it, shame on us. Ain't that right? I used to hate this verse. I mean, I did. Man, when I was smoking, I hated that verse. I did because, man, I'd get backed up in the corner. I'd get so aggravated. Because I couldn't argue with that verse. Him, I know that it's good to quit. I know, it was bad for your health, so it was going to be good to quit. It was bad for your testimony, so it was going to be good to quit. Man, I'd get aggravated with that verse.
Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it's sin. What about that one in Matthew chapter 25 that took his master's money, that took that one talent and dug a hole in the earth, wrapped it in a napkin and put it in the earth? He had opportunity to do good, but yet he did not. Even he could have took it and put it in the bank and let it have drawn interest. Is that not what he said? When I come, he said, if you were to just put it to the exchangers, then when I would have come, I could have at least had mine with usury. In other words, if you'd have put it in the bank, put it in a savings account, and just let it draw interest, he said, then at least when I come back, I'd have had a little bit. But instead, he dug a hole and he put it in the ground. And he hid it. So when we have opportunity to do good, then we don't. And we don't. Then we're in trouble. So what does he say? Therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. So when we neglect in that in doing good, then becomes the knowledge of sin. Sin of omission is still a sin. When we don't do good, when we don't do the will of God, what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it, listen, then it's sin. And sin does nothing but create problems in our life. I think if we had the opportunity to dwell in unity, what was it, Psalms 133? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I understand we can't always dwell together in unity because I know that certain people ain't going to believe like us. They're not going to believe this book. I understand that. But listen, when we just want to hold a grudge for the sake of holding a grudge, when we want to be bitter for the sake of being bitter, and we don't want to do good, you know, sometimes doing good is simply just letting some things go and forgiving some people. But when we have opportunity to do that and we don't do it, now, that don't always mean it's going to fix everything. I understand that. But I'm talking about holding on to some things. I want to be mad. You ever just wanted to be mad? I have. There's been times I've just wanted to be mad. I wanted to be mad at people. But for him, what is it? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I know forgiving them was going to be the best thing to do. Going to be a good thing to do. Let it go. Just let it go. So once we learn what we need to do and we refuse to do it and we neglect to do it, then becomes the knowledge of sin. So what's going to happen is the Lord is going to begin to correct us. He's going to begin to tell us, hey, you need to fix this. You need to do good. You need to stop what you're doing and go a different direction. You need to do this good that you have the ability to do. But if not, it's going to begin to cut us off from the Lord. What was it, Psalm 66? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Is there something pricking at your heart that's convicting you this morning in that sin of omission? How many times have we not done God's will? We've let something go. Let something be undone. Let something stay undone that needed to be fixed. No doubt I've done it many times. Over the years, I've messed things. You ever mess anything up? Well, aren't you glad He's a gracious Lord? I'm glad He's a gracious Lord this morning. But listen, if we're not doing good, then we're doing bad. If we're not doing good, you know, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So then sin is in our life, and that's going to cut us off from the Heavenly Father. Then we're going to be no good to Him at that point. I don't think it cuts us off like that, but I really do believe that the Holy Spirit comes and begins to deal with our heart and says, hey, you need to fix this thing, or we're fixing to have a problem. We need to start dealing with this because something's fixing to happen. And listen, if you're not doing good where we have the ability to do good, then I encourage you to do good. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Jacob, if you would, son, get some verse there. I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, but this is what He gave me. Listen, when we have the ability to do good, we need to do it. Following God's will, we always have the ability to follow God's will, and that's good. Are you following God's will this morning? Are you doing what God wants you to do? You say, preacher, it's awful tough to figure this thing out sometimes. I understand that. God understands that. But are you even striving and looking? You know, For he says, we should say this, you know, if the Lord will, we'll go do this and do that. Do you ever consider God's will? It's good to consider God's will. Is there somebody that you're struggling with to be good to? So, preacher, they sure are awful hard to deal with. Be good to them. Be good to them. Because if we have opportunity to be good to people and we ain't, boy, it's sin, first of all. I mean, boy, we'll think about the testimony that we're given. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To him it is sin. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to come. Trust the Lord.